Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
Week two ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. With me today is Pat Fitzmaurice, the Fantasy Shillelagh, and of course, Dalton Del Don from Yahoo joining us to talk about the running backs and the wide receivers, the ranks. This is the rank show for week two. We've got you covered. So it's got some really good diversity this week in the ranks, who people like, who people don't. We're going to talk about the guys that these two geniuses are a little, I would say, on opposite ends of the spectrum about. But before we get into all of that, I want to remind everybody also, don't forget about my playbook and the cheat sheets tool that will help you to set all of your lineups, to figure out what you're doing, because every single week it's a fresh slate. You have a lot of questions and we're here to answer those questions. But if you need extra help, my playbook is always there. Just sync up your league and get instant waiver and lineup advice, combining your favorite experts, which is probably Pat Fitzmaurice and Dalton Del Don. And the rest of the season you can look at dynasty rankings. You can look at all of it in one customizable cheat sheet. And the rankings for all their positions are conveniently shown on the same page. So there's no need to toggle back and forth or any of that nonsense. So we always talk about my playbook being a huge game changer and a time saver. And the cheat sheets tool is definitely one of those. And guess what? It's free. We love free stuff. So check out my playbook's cheat sheets tool over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. And gentlemen, I know we've got a fresh slate here, a fresh start. Week one had some wacky stuff, but week two is starting off wacky as well, because I noticed that the Cleveland Browns have now put out Brownie the Elf into the middle of the field. Now, Dalton Del Don, I've been saying for years that it's time to finally give these guys a mascot. I thought it would be like the Bulldog kind of thing. I thought they were going that route. No. It's Brownie the Elf. How does this make you feel when you see that giant elf at midfield in Cleveland right now?
Yeah, I saw people pointing out the Keebler reference. I don't have a strong take on this one. I'll throw you some fire takes at you on this one, but I do not have a strong take on the new Keebler icon.
Well, do you have a take on the Browns having something else on their helmet at least, like some kind of logo?
Yes, yeah, sure. Okay. Anything's better, I guess, than as bland as can be. So sure, it's progress.
All right. How about you, Fitz? I mean, you know, I guess it was called Brownie the Elf. I had to do some homework because I didn't understand why. So you leave out the brownie and then the elf would come at night and do all the work and clean up the house and all these things. Hence Brownie the Elf. See, I'm educating people on the program, too. I did not know that. So, Fitz, how do you feel about this? Because this elf is, it's not like a little elf. This is an enormous giant elf in the middle of this field.
I like it, Joe. It's unique. I'm very pro elf. I'm pro, you know, I like the Christmas elves at the North Pole
too.
And Santa's Workshop. I like the Keebler elves. I like the elves in Lord of the Rings. So I'm pro elf. Yes. Pro
My
elf.
Wife there is very go. Against elf on the shelf, though. It's just a lot of work. So we leave that to the grandparents to deal with the kids.
Let me tell you, we do elf on the shelf. It's a thing. And every year having to get more and more creative with it. I have to set a thing in my phone, though. And it just says every night, it says at 10 o'clock, move him. Or them now, because we have more than one. Because you know that there's that panic that sets in as a parent where you're like, oh my God, it's like, you know, midnight. I forgot to move the elf, or you wake up at 6 in the morning. Let me tell you, that stuff's real. All right, let's get to some real picks here, and let's start with the ranks at running back. And we're, of course, going to be using our Fantasy Pros tools to look at the ECR versus Pat's rank and Dalton's rank, and you can view all of their ranks on fantasypros.com/rankings. Let's start with David Montgomery. Pat, you have him at RB17 this week in week two. Dalton, you've got him at RB36. ECR is in the middle, so let's defend this high ranking theoretically, because you are higher than consensus, you're higher than Dalton. How do you feel about David Montgomery this week at RB17?
All right, well, full disclosure, I've since dropped him to RB19, but that is still well within the starting zone and still well above consensus. So It's the usage show. 20 touches for Montgomery in week one, 17 carries, 3 catches, and a 66% snap share. Khalil Herbert only played 29% of the snap. So I was kind of not really in on Montgomery this year because I was worried that they were going to make this more of a committee this year, but that's not what we saw in week one. But I think the thing that is misleading people, the surface stats, like Montgomery with a pretty inefficient 17 carry, 26 yard rushing line, while Herbert had 9 carries for 45 and a touchdown. But based on the snaps, I think you have to follow the volume here. And we saw Montgomery used in the same way he was under Matt Nagy. And not a great matchup here going into Green Bay with the Bears as almost a double-digit favorite, or maybe it is double digits by now. But the Packers do have some injured linebackers. Chris Barnes was carted off. Quay Walker has a shoulder issue and is questionable. So I think you just kind of have to go with the volume here. And what we've seen so far is Montgomery still being used as their workhorse.
All right, Montgomery might be their workhorse, but I think Khalil Herbert certainly getting into this conversation, a very interesting waiver wire ad we talked about yesterday on the show. Dalton, you are even lower than consensus on Montgomery. So what is it you're seeing here? And it feels like this ranking is almost building in the fear of him losing some of that volume that Pat's talking about.
Admittedly, this may be a little bit too low for someone coming off 20 touches. I could bump him up a handful of spots, but he's a back-end RB3 for me. Yes, part of the reason you saw all those carries last week was the weather. Chicago and San Francisco were both the two teams with by far the highest run rate over expectation. And basically, Montgomery rotates every third series with Khalil Herbert. I promised myself I wouldn't talk about Pro Football Focus grades, but in this example is just so perfect. Last year, they graded Montgomery as like the 84th rusher, and Herbert was like top 10. And you just see it in the yards per carry and with your own eyeballs. So I think Sunday night now 10-point underdogs, maybe this leads to a ton of dump offs for Montgomery playing from behind. But to me, Herbert's the superior player. And now on Sunday night is big dogs. I don't think the volume is going to be there or the scoring opportunities for Montgomery. But admittedly, maybe it's a little too low. It's not a horrible start if he's your RB3 this week because of the volume. You know, he should be looking at 15 more touches.
This is why I love this show. Pat's like, maybe I'm a little too high. Dalton's like, maybe I'm a little too low. But I feel like you're the guy from Pawn Stars where he says the best I can do is RB3.
In the middle.
Like, that's the best I can do. You know, I'm pretty sure that's where we're at. Let's talk about another guy here, Miles Sanders of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it was a good outing for him. He actually had a touchdown, which is something he is not as familiar with, the end zone. Coming off last year. This matchup here, he is traveling. They're home against Minnesota this week in that Monday night matchup. So, Pat, you have Miles Sanders at RB23. Dalton's got him at 33. Once again, ECR kind of in the middle, but closer to where you are, Pat. So when it comes to Miles Sanders, how do you break this down, what you saw week one of a team that also likes to run the football?
Well, we have to start by celebrating that touchdown, Joe.
Think Mike Mayer is the reason for the touchdown. Can we all agree? Like, Mike Mayer inspired Miles Sanders, I feel like.
Yes, with his tweet about, Miles Sanders making a pointed remark about Sanders not scoring any touchdowns. And then he goes out and scores one.
Motivation.
Your face, Mike Mayer. He did have a touchdown run, but then again, Boston Scott had one. Kenneth Gainwell had one. Jalen Hurts had one. So everyone got in on the scoring action for the Eagles. But we did see Sanders play 52% of the snaps. He played more snaps than Scott and Gainwell combined. So he was the lead guy in what admittedly is a committee, but he is the chairman of this committee. And this is a great environment for a running back, Joe. We've got Jalen Hurts with his threat as a runner, like that widens lanes for running backs. And the Eagles have one of the top offensive lines in the league. And we've seen this like last year. Sanders Didn't score a touchdown, but he averaged 5.5 yards per carry. And we're going to see that sort of high efficiency again this year. So last week, Packers running backs combined for 22.7 fantasy points against the Vikings, even though they were trailing pretty much for the entire game. And, you know, despite that negative game script and only 15 carries for the Green Bay running backs, they still put up a lot of points. So this is not really a defense to be feared. Yeah, I've got Sanders running back 23, and I think he's a good start this week.
All right, Dalton, you mentioned all the names already, Pat did, about all the different guys still in this backfield. Now, the offensive line, very good for the Eagles, probably doesn't even get enough credit as they should. You've got him at RB 33. Is that still just the fear of the other guys in this backfield still? Same kind of like with Montgomery?
It was really nice to see the immediate touchdown regression after going all of last season without scoring. But so, okay, this is a boring answer, but I'm just going to say same with Montgomery. My running backs from around running back 35 to running back 20, I would consider it all in the same tier. And I could easily see the argument moving Sanders up and down. I will definitely push back on some names coming further. But Miles Sanders is basically in a four-way committee when you count the rushing quarterback. Lack of targets are another issue. But as Pat said, awesome Philly offensive line. Yards per carry is always there. I wouldn't fight you hard on this one at all. It's just, you know, a four-way committee, and it's just going to, they're going to take their turns in which back is productive. But we'll definitely talk about some more. I'll have some more pushback on the players coming up.
All right. Very good. He's just gearing up. He's just starting everybody.
Like I said, that's just one big tier for me this week.
No, that's understandable.
35, really, I could see going anyway.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about DraftKings. The NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And we're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers, you can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. And right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100% with payouts bigger than ever. Why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game all season long. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code FANTASYPROS to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code FANTASYPROS only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And now, back to the action. Pat, let's do one more of your guys that you are higher on than Dalton, and that's Damian Pierce. It's not by a huge amount, but 8 difference. You've got him at RB 38. Dalton's got him at 46. ECR is in lockstep with you. That's at 38 as well. So, Pat, let's talk about what we saw last week out of the Texans' backfield. Certainly, we saw a lot more Rex Burkhead, I think, than any of us would care to admit. So how do you look at Damian Pierce this way at 38? He is right on that cusp for you. How do you feel about his performance last week, and how do you feel about his projection this week?
Yeah, I might be a little higher than Dalton on Pierce, but let's not mistake that for being high on Pierce. And, God bless our listeners who had Damian Pierce and took him in like the 4th or 5th round or whatever. You know, these are the people who are like super dialed in to what happens in August. And I totally respect that. But I do think, you know, that was probably a mistake. And maybe one of the big mistakes here was like counting on rational coaching from Lovie Smith. And, you know, Pep Hamilton. So we saw Pierce get outsnapped 50-20 by Rex Burkhead, who is, you know, objectively not good. And but unfortunately, he is going to be a major fly in the ointment for the Pierce stakeholders this year. And like Lovie says that he wanted to use Pierce more in week one, and for some reason it just didn't happen. But that's kind of a weird thing to say in a game that was competitive pretty much throughout, and like you had every opportunity to give Pierce the sort of workload you wanted to or said you wanted to. So I don't really understand that. Now they're big underdogs against the Broncos, who did a pretty nice job against Rashad Penny in week one. So like it's hard to see Pierce going from that sort of game to all of a sudden like a big splashy 20-25 carry game in a game where likely the game script is going to be negative. So hard for me to really get on board with this. At RB 38, he's probably going to be on the outside looking in. You know, if I had him in it, any of my lineups, but I didn't because I was in a lot of drafts where he went in the fourth round.
Yeah, that got a little out of control. It always is. It's why we can't have nice things. Everything gets ruined. People go too crazy. Dalton, it's pretty clear from your ranking what you think of Pierce this week, so I'm going to ask you another question instead about Pierce. After this game against Denver, he gets Chicago, Chargers, Jacksonville, then a bye, then Vegas and Tennessee, and Saquon Barkley just ran amok all over Tennessee. If he has another down game here in Denver, do you think this is ample opportunity to buy low on Dameon Pierce?
So I kind of was one of those suckers drafting him. I have him in numerous high stakes leagues, not the fourth round, but the fifth and sixth round. If I was not having an RB early, I was going after for Pierce. And, you know, he did not have huge production in college. And I get that the argument, if you couldn't see the field there, how do you think he's going to see the field in the NFL? But I'm a little bit of a bigger believer in Davis Mills than most people. Houston has an underrated tackle duo. And Rex Burkhead is 32 years old, man. I just do not see him lasting. And as Pat said, he's definitively not good. But right now in front of us, week two, Burkhead is clearly getting the guy. And while I would remain patient with Pierce, and I do think he can even develop as a receiver down the stretch eventually too. But immediately, I just do not see him as a starter. He needs to be on your bench. You need to have patience. It's Burkhead's backfield. And especially this week, Houston just played 160 snaps last week in five quarters. Broncos are coming off a tough loss. This could get lopsided fast. So I just think this week, no good for Pierce. But second half of the year, no Burkhead, I think is really there's a lot of fantasy upside still.
All right, Dalton, you've got Leonard Fournette this week as RB4. Pat's got him at RB14 consensus, a little better than Pat at 11. So why so high on Lenny this week against New Orleans?
Yeah, so maybe a little bit too high here. Another tier after the big three. To me, it's Taylor, CMC, and Barkley, and then we could talk about this gigantic tier. The Saints, you know, they've had this really tough run defense, but they did allow 200 rushing yards last week, their first or second 100-yard rusher in 79 mm-hmm. games, I believe, and Fournette just flat-out looked good. I mean, he played mm-hmm. almost every single snap and ran almost every single route in the first half before that game got out of hand. So, and any worries about him being out of shape, he quickly quelled. Mm-hmm. Now Chris Godwin's out. Russell Gage did not look right. Mike Evans is notoriously slowed by New Orleans, so I think Fournette's is going to be a major part of this game plan. Brady leads the NFL in target percentage of the last 5 years to his running back, so I think the targets will be there like they were last year. So I can't promise you Lenny will stay healthy over the whole season, but he's a slam top 10 fantasy RB for me right now while healthy.
All right, Pat, you've got him actually outside of that top 10 right now. Is that something that you've thought more and are ready to maybe change a little bit? Or do you think that for some reason this week he's more of an RB2, which is where you have him ranked?
Yeah, it's possible I'll move him up a couple of spots. And Dalton makes a really great point about what the volume is likely to be, especially with no Godwin. That's such a big thing. I mean, Brady does not like taking hits at age 45, and who can blame him? So, like, he is going to look for those quick release passes. And, you know, Fournette is his guy. We didn't really see Rashad White in week one until the game was well in hand for the Bucs. But I do worry about the matchup. I mean, it just seems like Dennis Allen, the Saints' longtime defensive coordinator and now their head coach, kind of has the Bucs numbers, the Bucs number a little. They shut them out 9-0 the last time these two teams played back in December of last year. In two games against the Saints last year, Leonard Fournette had 826-0 rushing, 317-0 receiving, and 934-0 rushing, 733-0 receiving. So they bottled up Fournette pretty well last year. You know, he had a lot of sort of empty calorie receptions, and maybe that can carry people in PPR to some degree, half point PPR leagues. But I don't know if Fournette is going to get off against this good run defense. And yes, they didn't look great last week. You know, Patterson had some success on the ground and Marcus Mariota ran all over him. But this was the second ranked team in terms of fantasy points allowed to running backs last year. So it is a pretty tough defense to get points on if you are a running back. And I kind of worry about the matchup for Fournette a little. But let's face it, at running back 14, even though I've got him well below consensus, you're still starting him.
Now, the next guy on the list, Darrell Henderson Jr. of the Rams. Dalton, you have him at RB15 this week. Pat, a little bit lower at 18, but the consensus was all the way down at 28 on him. It's since moved up a little bit to 25 since we put the show together. But still, that seems very low compared to where you guys are. So let's talk about this. Is this because people are still holding the torch for Cam Akers a little bit, or is it because people are just refusing to buy in that this is what the backfield is going to look like every single week after what they saw week one, Dalton?
Maybe it's the looking at the box score, because Henderson didn't have, you know, a lot of production week one, but underlying, he flat out dominated LA's backfield. I mean, he was second in snap share rate among all running backs, first in route involvement. It resulted in a career high 5 catches. LA's offensive line isn't as dominant as it once was, but Cam Akers may not have even played last week if Kyren Williams didn't suffer a sprained ankle on the opening kickoff. Akers ranked last among 105 running backs last year in rush yards over expectation. He just hasn't looked the same since returning from Achilles injury. I mean, who knows? Maybe suddenly he'll be involved more than expected this week. I get that it's a bit of a risk since Henderson hasn't been doing it repeatedly, but I mean, we're talking about a player who, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he has the highest yards per carry in the history of college football at 8.2 yards. They're at home with extra rest, playing in Atlanta's defense, whose best players are their cornerbacks. So, yeah, I mean, I could see moving Henderson in my – I almost had him in my top 12 fantasy wow. running backs. I'm closer to moving him higher than I am lower, let's put it that way.
All right, Fitz, how about you? I know we talked about a lot of the stats, but the biggest stat out of that game was the L that they took. So even though Henderson's getting a lot of touches, if you're not winning football games, something's got to change. Is that what's going on here? You think it's just the fear of the consensus of something changing because of, well, let's be honest, they got their butt kicked last week.
Yeah, maybe, Joe, but you talk about taking L's, and I should probably just eat a big one right here for honking Cam Akers horn all offseason.
You know what? In all fairness, you might have gotten in the car, you might have started driving it, but then somewhere in August, I feel like you pulled over to the rest stop and you got out and you Ubered the rest of the way. I feel like that's safe.
Yeah, I kind of did. Like I pulled back a little in my rankings for sure with Cam Akers, although I'm still invested in him in too many leagues. But what can you say? Henderson was the guy in week one, and he had an 82% snap share, 13 carries, 5 targets, and that was in generally a pretty negative game script for the Rams, as we know for that. Not a game where they were in a position to be able to run much in the second half. He's the guy. How can we dispute that? For an offense that, yes, they have offensive line problems, but they are, like, Sean McVay's offenses always score. They're always going to be in the top 10 in total yardage. Like, these are traditionally good offenses. And, you know, while the Falcons had a pretty good day against Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram last week, only giving up 4.9 fantasy points to those two, generally they have not been great against the run. They gave up the 9th most fantasy points to running backs last year. So a much better matchup for the Rams than they had against the Bills in the opener. And, you know, Henderson's the main man. So I don't see how he can't be top 20.
Now, speaking of Achilles injuries, James Robinson did look pretty good last week. Had a couple touchdowns. That certainly helps the point total. ATN could have had more touchdowns. We can talk about that another time. But right now, Dalton, you've got him at RB27. Pat's got him at 34. Consensus at 33. I'm going to ask this question. Dalton, do you think everybody's too low right now on Robinson?
It appears so. Listen, to be clear, at draft season, I have zero Robinson and plenty of ETN, but it looks like I may have got that wrong. He's going to be the outlier returning from the Achilles. Now, I know there was some prevailing thought that it didn't matter if he would have relied less on his explosion than Akers, and they would just put him on the field for his pass protection ability. And I'm not a big college guy. But I read some college people talking about how ETN's production as a receiver was just because he was force-fed. He's not a natural pass catcher. And boy, watching him in the preseason and dropping that touchdown pass week one confirms that. He's just not a natural pass catcher. He can obviously put up the points and help in PPR leagues, but he has some improvement to do in that area as an NFL player. And Robinson's a better pass protector. Who knows at the goal line. I'm a big believer in Trevor Lawrence rebounding in year two without Urban Meyer. If Robinson's the goal line favorite and seeing all these carries now facing – is Shaq Leonard going to play this week? I forget how long he's out. But either way, I'm having a hard time. Who I want to rank Robinson or ETN higher in half-point PPR, I almost want to give the nod to Robinson.
Pat, same question to you. Is everyone too low on him right now?
It's possible. I mean, ETN is going to get those passing down snaps, and I think that's going to remain the case. You know, whether he's a natural pass catcher or not, like the production at Clemson is pretty hard to deny. And like, this is probably going to be a 50-50. And it was basically almost exactly a 50-50 snap split in week one. I do worry a little bit about the matchup with Indy, which gave up the fifth fewest points to running backs last year. Although, as Dalton mentioned, like Shaq Leonard, that's a big thing. And I just can't get used to calling him Shaq Leonard.
I know. It's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. I have a cool story behind the adjustment. That's for sure. So
yeah. So, and I will, I'll be making an adjustment myself, Joe, to the rankings, depending on whether or not Leonard plays. Like if Leonard plays, I'm probably going to even move Robinson down a little bit more.
Well, I was just looking for that information. It says like Frank Reich yesterday said that he's got a chance to play. Now that doesn't sound very encouraging to me.
No, not really.
So yeah, can't get on there. All right. So those are the guys at the RB that we have some discrepancies on. Of course, if you got some answers there and you're watching on the YouTube channel, drop a comment in there. Let me know how you feel about James Robinson or Henderson or Fournette or any of those guys. I think Pierce is an interesting buy low after this week, though. I would be all over that because, you know, the people who overpaid. I'm sorry, present company excluded, Dalton. They're a little worried. Dalton won't be worried, but people less smart than him will be. Also, if you're smart, make sure you check out our new giveaway because we have got an autographed Jalen Hurts jersey we're giving away here on the show. Go to fantasypros.com/contest to get involved. Of course, it's courtesy of our friends at pristineauction.com. And you can enter to win by leaving a review of the podcast, which is fun. You listen to the podcast, you like the podcast, you give us a nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods, and subscribe to our social media channels for more entries as well. So drop a review if you haven't already. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube. Make sure you follow us on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram at Fantasy Pros. We've got a lot of amazing content there as well. Every time you do one of those things, you get an entry for that Jalen Hurts jersey. Pretty good. So check it out at fantasypros.com/contest. And that ends at the end of the month. So you've only got about, 15 days left here. So let's get on that. Let's also get on the wide receivers here. Let's start with DJ Moore, Pat Fitzmaurice. You haven't ranked yet. Wide receiver 15. Dalton's at 26. ECR in the middle at 19. So, Pat, Robbie Anderson had a pretty good day. Is that why you think people are are a little lesser on DJ Moore this week?
Yes. Yes, I do, Joe. That is the reason, and it's an overreaction, I think, to week one surface stats where DJ Moore, 3 catches, 46 yards, and only 6 targets. But look, I'm sticking to my guns here. DJ Moore is extremely good at football. He has thrived and put up big numbers, at least big reception and yardage numbers, maybe not touchdowns yet, with subpar quarterbacking. And Baker Mayfield is arguably the best quarterback he has played with, even if he's no superstar himself. This is just a stick to your guns ranking. It is maybe a little worrisome that he's probably going to see a lot of Adoree Jackson, the Giants' very good cornerback. But like, I'm not really shying away from Moore because of the matchup or anything else. And he's just on a different strata as far as talent than Robbie Anderson. I mean, come on. Like, I'm not worried about Robbie Anderson being a threat to DJ Moore's production.
Dalton, are you worried about that at all? Because you've got Moore considerably lower than Pat and lower than ECR also. So is that part of your thought process of waiting to see a little bit more with Moore?
Not Robbie Anderson. That was one 75-yard play contributed to a lot of his stats. This is probably an overreaction to my own overhype of DJ Moore. I had him as like the 8th or 9th PPR receiver entering the year, so I'm frustrated having him on a lot of teams. But this is another one of those boring answers to where I looked, and my receivers 12 through 25 are all same tier. You're starting DJ Moore this week in half PPR. He simply does get knocked because of his lack of usage in the red zone. I hope that changes, and I hope the quarterback upgrade does turn into a monster year from DJ Moore. It's certainly still possible. It was a discouraging week one, which may be highlighted even more so because of the new quarterback. I'm panicking maybe unnecessarily. I think Moore is going to be fine. Start him this week. But I want to throw a curveball at you guys because I know we're not going to talk about him. But I'm curious what both of you are doing with CeeDee Lamb. I'm at a loss what to do.
Listen, we have that coming in the show, and I think it's a great conversation. Let's hold it for the mailbag because that's like our mailbag question later at the end of the show is actually about CeeDee Lamb. And I think you're right, Dalton. I think we do need to talk about that. We talked about it yesterday too. What do you do in terms of, you know, holding him, trading him, what are you trying to do? But now we're talking about those of you who kind of stuck with him right now, how we're going to do. So if you're a CeeDee Lamb owner, make sure you stick around the show because we're definitely going to talk about that later on. Let's go to the next guy on the list though. Mike Williams. Look, I refuse to be shaken of my love for Mike Williams. I love this matchup on Thursday. Pat, you're at wide receiver 10. Dalton, you're at wide receiver 25. So first, Pat, give everybody the pep talk on Mike Williams, and then Dalton can throw the big bucket of cold water if he wants.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to our guy, Mike Tagliare, a huge Mike Williams supporter. Yeah. And if Tags was sitting in this chair instead of me, he would be telling everyone not to freak out and panic, because you shouldn't freak out and panic. Although it was a little weird that he had the 2-catch, 10-yard game, 4 targets in a game where Keenan Allen left hurt in the first half. Like, that's the unusual thing, and kind of hard to wrap my head around. But I'm not too worried about it. I mean, like, there's no Keenan Allen this week. It's Mike Williams as the number one receiver in a game with a 54.5-point Vegas total, the highest on the board this week. There are going to be fireworks, and I expect Mike Williams to be part of it. And, you know, like, last year against the Chiefs, first meeting, 7 catches, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns for Mike Williams. Second meeting, not quite as good. That was 3 catches, 49 yards, no touchdowns. But he had 9 targets in each of those games. And I'd almost bet over on 9 targets, I think, this week with no Keenan Allen. So great setup for Mike Williams. Don't panic because of the bad week one. You got to keep him in your lineup.
ECR has Williams at 13, much closer to Pat than you are ranking Dalton. So how do you feel about Mike Williams going into this Thursday night contest with Keenan Allen out?
He's my wide receiver 22 now. You're starting him. I just have him as more of a lower-end wide receiver 2, I guess, than a high-end. I mean, Justin Herbert spread it around like crazy last week. Pat said it. With Keenan Allen out, Williams still finished with 10 scoreless yards on 4 targets. His ADOT was 3.5 yards, ranked 83rd. I mean, you're paying the man $20 million a year as listen, Eckler's Edge, company man here on Yahoo, just listening this morning, and Austin was saying, you know, he got to get more targets, making $20 million. But he also said that they just spread it around, and that's just the way this offense is. So that is my main concern with Mike Wentz. But in the highest over-under of the week by far, no Keenan Allen. Yes, you got to just roll with him. But I am a little like, man, they're just blindly treating him as a top 15 guy after last week's performance, and he's just treated a little differently. It's more of the best ball crutch type player. But yeah, in this matchup, I certainly consider you must start him. And I'm hoping my guy Josh Palmer, another guy I came away with a lot in rounds, you know, in the mid rounds, hope he steps up here. There's a lot more DeAndre Carter than I expected last week without Allen.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. Patrick Mahomes is out there slinging beautiful balls all over the field, but what about your balls? Are they on target? Maybe it's time to check in on those boys and see how they're doing with Manscaped state-of-the-art tech. You'll have the weapons looking more loaded than the AFC West. Football may be rough, we all know that, but don't let your ball care be rough. Check out Manscaped and join the 6 million new men worldwide that trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com. 20% off you get with free shipping with the promo code Joey P. That's me. Joey P is the promo code. Meet the best valued bundle for your bundle yet as Manscaped's Pocket Rockets, the Platinum Package. The QB starting the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. It's incredibly safe. It's got the advanced skin safe technology that won't hurt or nick you or cut you. And of course, it's got that light on it, and it's waterproof too, just in case you have to play in Chicago like those guys did last week. And running back, the weed whacker, ear, nose, and hair trimmer for all over the place. Make sure you don't have your nose hair hanging out. That's gross. What the hell's wrong with you? And an offensive line, we've got the unsung heroes, the crop preserver, the ball deodorant, and the crop reviver ball toner, the Trent Williams and Corey Linsley of sack protection, standing strong to keep your boys protected at all times. Look, go check it out right now. We've got so many cool products over at Manscaped, including the ultra premium body wash and ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Don't forget too about Manscaped's anti-chafing boxer briefs too. All of this in one package, and aluminum-free ultra premium deodorant as well. So get the right package for your package today. Manscaped's Pocket Rockets, the Platinum Package, over at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com when you use that promo code Joey P. Don't forget, Joey P is the promo code. Manscaped.com, where your balls are the MVPs. And now back to the action. The next guy we're going to talk about, I'm a lot closer to where Dalton is than where Pat is. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Chase Claypool. You've got him at wide receiver 36. ECR is at 40. Dalton's at 50 as of when I was putting everything together. So he's still in that wide receiver 3 conversation, hanging on at the end of the cliff. So what's keeping him there for you, Fitz?
Yeah, so this was a guy who I started drafting more late in draft season. I just worried, like, what if I'm really missing the boat on a guy who is just freakishly big and fast and just a remarkable athlete? Like, I know he has had some weird issues, like immaturity on the field. But this was a guy who scored 9 touchdowns as a rookie before plummeting to just 2 last year. And it seems like, based on what we saw in week 1, they want to keep him involved in the offense. 6 targets, only 4 catches for 18 yards. But they gave him 6 carries last week. And I just wonder if they might be like more of a Deebo Samuel type role in store for him this year, because now you've got Najee Harris banged up. The backup, Jaylen Warren, is a guy who's completely inexperienced. We don't really know whether he's good or not yet. What if we see Chase Claypool in sort of a modified Deebo Samuel type role, getting more carries and then getting some targets every week? And, you know, with this guy's athletic profile, like, I'm very intrigued by him. You know, at wide receiver 36, he's kind of a borderline start sit guy. But, like, this is a guy I kind of want to err on the side of having him in my lineup. And I'm going to have him in a few lineups this week.
Now, Dalton, you and I seem to be, you know, stepping on his fingers as he's holding onto that wide receiver 3 cliff. So you talk to me about your thoughts on Claypool this week and maybe even going forward as well.
Pat actually sold him short. He scored 11 touchdowns as a rookie. He had 2 rushing scores also.
I
get the upside. I mean, it's the big slot. I mean, I totally get the upside. And I'm actually going to move him up because of Pat's point about carries. It's a great point. He had 6 last week and now banged up Najee. So I probably will bump him up a handful of spots just for that. But, you know, he was bad last year. Then 18 yards in his first game with Mitch Trubisky. Deontay Johnson's healthy and a target hog. I'm a George Pickens believer. But Claypool did lead the whole team in snap, all the wide receivers in snaps last week. I just think guys like Corey Davis and even Sterling Shepard are safer plays in PPR league. But yeah, Claypool, if you're in a half PPR, which we rank in Fantasy Pros, yeah, the touchdown, he's a touchdown guy. But man, the Pats defense wasn't terrible last week, aside from that one busted play. So I prefer not to start Chase Claypool on my fantasy teams this week.
All right, let's flip this around. Let's find some other guys that Dalton likes more than Fitz. Let's start with Christian Kirk, one of my favorite dudes. You've got him, Dalton, at wide receiver 14. ECR is at 29. Fitz is at 29. Let's give some love to Christian Kirk. Come on, Dalton. Let's go.
What is up with this ranking? I don't get it. In the offseason, I understand that it was crazy to pay him like a top 5 NFL receiver, but he's getting targeted like one as a result.
Sure is.
Kirk put up really big numbers when DeAndre Hopkins was off the field in Arizona. Go look at the splits. He was putting up real nice numbers, and now he has Trevor Lawrence's clear number one. 38% target share in the preseason game they played together. 12 targets in week 1. I mean, I might move him up with my top 12. I mean, to me in PPR, wheels up for Christian Kirk moving forward. I mean, again, Trevor Lawrence without Urban Meyer, really like him this year. Top 15 PPR receiver on my board moving forward. This week he's at home against an indie pass funnel defense. They stopped the run. So, yeah, love Christian Kirk.
All right, Pat, come on. Was that a convincing argument? You ready to bump up Christian Kirk a little bit from 29? 29, come on.
I've already moved him up to wide receiver 28, so I'm getting there.
But whole show, all the way to the wall spot.
Dalton did make a very convincing argument. And it's funny, Joe, Tuesday morning, I tweeted out my rankings, and not even 5 minutes after I did, I had a follower saying that I had Christian Kirk ranked too low at wide receiver 29. I was getting chastised 5 minutes after posting my rankings. I get it. The 12 targets, big time production, 117 yards. And the Colts do have a revamped secondary. So maybe they're not not a matchup to fear at all. I guess the one thing, like, I just want to make sure that Christian Kirk can be a number one receiver, because in the 7 games that DeAndre Hopkins missed last year, Kirk averaged 7.3 targets, 64.9 yards, and scored 1 touchdown. So it was a little disappointing. And those numbers, by the way, courtesy of my colleague Matt Friedman, who pointed this out. But Friedman had him on his list of Friedman's favorites. Christian Kirk made the list this week. So maybe I just need to get on board here and come around. So I'll probably bump him up a little as the week progresses.
Maybe 27. Let's go crazy. Let's move another whole spot. All right, gut check time. Allen Robinson the second. That was, I think, the same number of targets he had was 2. Wide receiver 24. Dalton, you've got him there. Pat's dropped him to wide receiver 32. Consensus is where Pat is at wide receiver 30. So you are still buying in. I can understand this, Dalton. Is your thought process, hey, look, we lost last week. What didn't we do? We didn't get Allen Robinson the football. We got to change that a little bit, get him a little bit more diverse on offense. Do you think that's what it is? And do you think you see it come to fruition in week 2 in this matchup? Because the matchup is, you know, from a corner perspective, a little tougher.
Oh, as strong as I feel about Christian Kirk, I'm a coward on this ranking. I have no idea what to expect from A-Rob. I liked him. I drafted him in plenty of high-stakes leagues, and that was just a disaster, a nightmare week one. On one hand, you read that Stafford was yelling, he was screaming on the sideline, he was irate at some of the route running. On the other hand, you watch the tape, and it appears he's not washed. I mean, it looked like he was getting open. If for no other reason in week two, I feel like the Rams are going to force feed him the ball just to make sure, you know, we don't lose him for the season. They're the biggest favorites on the board with extra rest. But you do mention, we have mentioned in this pod, that Atlanta's strengths of this corner is Casey Hayward, AJ Terrell. So I'm not super confident, but in this matchup and given all the talk, I just think that they will make a concerted effort of getting him the ball. But no, I'm not as confident about A-Rob's 2022 fantasy season as I was 2 weeks ago. That's for sure.
All right. As somebody, I will abstain because I was out on Allen Robinson. I know some people were in the middle. So Pat, I don't know where you were officially when push came to shove, when it came to Robinson, but I don't think any of us can think it's going to be as bad as week one. The question is, how good can it be in week two?
Yeah, I have been historically a pro Allen Robinson guy, and I was very on the fence this year. And like, I'm still on the fence now. I don't know what to make of that week one performance, that he ran as many routes and played as many snaps as he did and only drew two targets. You know, Matthew Stafford only had eyes for Cooper Kupp in that game. And Cooper Kupp is really good. So like, why should we expect that that's not going to be the case all year? But like, I do expect better than this. Dalton mentioned that the Falcons have such good outside cornerbacks. Like, this is actually in some ways maybe a tougher matchup than the Bills are with no Tre'Davious White. So like, I wonder about this. I do think maybe there's some sort of concerted effort for you know, them to run some plays where they know that Allen Robinson is going to be the primary, and let's get this guy the ball and get him back involved in the offense again. So So two off consensus here. I've got him two lower than consensus. I'm kind of glad I'm near consensus on him, because like, I don't want to take an extreme position on Allen Robinson because I have no idea what to expect, quite honestly.
Yeah, the it's tough. I think if you are Allen Robinson, you just don't want to see those corners this week. Like, you want to bounce back. You have a good game. This could really kind of put him in the Dameon Pierce conversation we were just talking about, running back, where 2 weeks, the panic level on a guy that was a very controversial player potentially, that becomes an incredible buy low trade target. So keep that in mind. If it's bad this week too, it's not going to necessarily be as bad, I don't think, all season long. And this is from the guy that didn't like Allen Robinson. Jarvis Landry.
It's so nice. Cooper Kupp getting matched up on the linebackers so frequently in zone. It's just so nice. I don't even care about the opponents. I mean, it's great.
How is he always open, Dalton? And this, all I do is watch these games. And this was my whole Justin Jefferson thought process going into the year, was like, all I did last year in 2021 was watch Cooper Kupp be open. And all I kept thinking about is, they can figure out a way to get Justin Jefferson that open all the time. That is going to be a terrifying idea for the rest of the league. And his stock, by the way, went from plus 1400 as offensive player of the year on the AP on the wagering. You know what it is this week? It's plus 600, Justin Jefferson. What an enormous jump that was after one game. So hopefully you got in on that earlier. But I mean, this is crazy how those guys can just always be open in that respective offense that they run. Jarvis Landry had a good game last week. Credit to Debro on this one. He was very on the Jarvis Landry wagon. Dalton, you've got him at wide receiver 32, so you feel pretty good about him as a third wide receiver. Pat, you have more in that flex range of wide receiver 44, which is where consensus has him at 45. So what did you see, Dalton, that was encouraging, you think, can carry over from week one to week two?
Maybe I'm overreacting to week one. And again, the whole half point full PPR thing here, he matters with Landry, but I'm upset with myself for not drafting him more. He is a target hog. First of all, he's not even 30 yet. He just feels like he's super old. But since entering the NFL in 2014, he has the sixth highest target per route run rate. Since 2021, only Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, Cooper Kupp, Deontay Johnson, and Tyreek Hill have higher rates. Top five in air yards in week one. This is a pass funnel Tampa Bay defense playing indoors with a banged up Alvin Kamara. It's going to be another busy day for Landry. By the way, the Bucs allowed the most fantasy points to the slot over the final 2 months last season. So, yeah, I like this setup for Landry.
All right. How about you here? Do you think Landry is a better flex play than people realize going into this week, Pat? Or are you still a little hesitant after just that one good week?
He is. I'm too low on him. I'm one higher than consensus, but I got to be closer to where Dalton is, I think, because D-Bro loved him last week because of the slot matchup. And again, I'm maybe an even better slot matchup this week because the Tampa outside corners are good. Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, their slot guy. Well, we don't know who their slot guy is. Sean Murphy Bunting, who is a favorite, like play the guy in DFS who's going against Sean Murphy Bunting. He didn't really play that much. I don't know if he played at all in week one. I got to go back and look at the snap counts, but they were playing Antoine Winfield, their safety, as their slot corner. And like, I got to think Landry has an edge in that matchup, even though Winfield is really good. But like a safety trying to hang with Landry, not a good matchup for the Bucs there. So the air yards, I mean, top five in air yards for a guy who's like a short area receiver was just like, maybe this is a sign that this is going to be a big Landry year. And I guess the reason I'm kind of staying away is just like Michael Thomas is there. Chris Olave, a guy I loved coming out of college, is there.
Yeah.
And they're probably, you know, although he's banged up, they probably are going to throw a lot of passes to Alvin Kamara again. Maybe not as many as in the Drew Brees days, but he's still going to be a frequently targeted guy. And they were throwing a Juwan, why am I blanking on the
Jennings?
The tight end.
Juwan Johnson, if you
actually, Juwan Johnson, rather,
if you relied on guys like Austin Hooper, David Njoku, like me, sorry to cut you off, but Juwan Johnson quietly is the clear number one tight end there in New Orleans, and he was running. He's among the league leaders in tight end, route participation, all that stuff. If you're in a really deep league, I mean, he looks like a top 15, you know, type, top 15, 20 range tight end he could sneak into.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, I guess that's why I'm hesitating, because they have five viable targets, but the matchup this week does look delicious, and I probably have to move Landry inside my top 40 receiver.
All right, let's move on to the throwdown here, where I'm going to give you some guys that I am higher on than ECR, and I want to know where you guys stand on this. Let's start with Julio Jones. ECR's got him at 42. I've got him at much higher than that. I'm 17 spots higher, because I think Julio looks good, and I think this is a great opportunity here for Tom Brady, especially with Chris Godwin obviously coming up lame last week, that Julio could see a fair amount of attention, especially as Tom Brady gets his reps back in a little bit. I think everyone panicked a little bit, like, well, what's wrong with Tom Brady? He barely played in the preseason. He barely practiced in the preseason. Just give Tom Brady some time. Fitz, where are you at here with Julio Jones this week? Are you closer to the ECR at 42, or are you above or below?
I'm closer to the ECR, Joe, but man, another all the receivers in this Buccaneers Saints game, like I don't feel confident about my rankings on anyone. it doesn't feel good to have Evans in the top 12, because as Dalton mentioned, like Marshawn Lattimore has shut Evans down the last seven times they played, going back to like 2019. Yep. I mean, I think Evans has cracked the 50 yard mark once in those seven games. He's had like three touchdowns, but so maybe if Lattimore's on Evans again, this is a big Julio day potentially. So like, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw 100-yard, hey, it's Julio Jones game again. Like I could see it. I could definitely see it. I'm not quite as confident as you, Joe. I can't have him in like auto start territory.
Oh, I do. He's in auto start territory. In fact, I've got him higher than CeeDee Lamb this week. Spoiler about talking about that. And let me put that to you guys. Do you feel better about all the things you just said, Pat? Do you feel better about starting Julio Jones or CeeDee Lamb this week? And if that's the case, then where's your CeeDee Lamb ranking? That's that. Dalton, I'm going to let Pat marinate on that, because he looks like I just, you know, I just gave him
up. give me time to look up where I've got Lamb ranked this week.
All right, Dalton, what do you think about Julio Jones this week? Do you have him higher or lower than that 42 at ECR?
I'm closer to you, Joe. I like him as a back end wide receiver three this week. Mm-hmm. I was all over Russell Gage in early draft season, but like I said, he just simply does not look healthy right now. And Julio does not look washed. It's pretty funny. He said that Brady just hit him up on Instagram. That's how he joined Tampa Bay. And obviously no Godwin. And maybe I'm wrong. He said that. Maybe I'm wrong about Fournette. And he does get shut down by the Saints defense too. And it'll leave Julio as a big part of this Sunday game plan. So yeah, I'm closer to you, and I don't have him on many fantasy rosters, but I do see him right away in week two as a wide receiver three option.
Can you imagine Tom Brady's like, hey, what you doing? You want to come play some football? Like, you know, it's just like he's hanging out with his friends. Funny. It's crazy. Only Tom Brady could get away with that. All right, let's talk about Robbie Anderson, another guy that we you know, kind of touched on DJ Moore, but not really Robbie Anderson's rank. He is at right now ECR 51. I've moved him down a little bit further than I had him originally. But let's talk about where you're at, because I got him at 44. I'm a little bit higher there than the consensus at 51. Dalton, when you look at Robbie Anderson this week, I understand the big play was part of it, but big plays have always been part of Robbie Anderson's fantasy value. So do you like the matchup here in the sense where maybe we could get another week with another big play?
I have him just slightly below ECR. I won't push back at you too far because you're right. He is a big play receiver and maybe ends up with more rapport than Mayfield. I mean, it's entirely possible.
Well, Mayfield historically, Dalton, does like to take more shots. We all know that. That's like kind of his undoing. So does that match up a lot better than people realize potentially when it comes to Robbie Anderson's long-term value?
Yeah, it's entirely possible. He's playing with that torn labrum last year, but Mayfield can sling it. I mean, he absolutely has one of the strongest arms in football. I don't know if many people realize that, but I think CMC and DJ Moore get more involved this week, and Anderson takes a step back. But again, I wouldn't push back too far on you on this.
All right, Pat, before I check in on you and see how you're doing after that CD Lamb truth bomb there, I want to know, what do you think about Robbie Anderson, some of the points we were just bantering about back and forth?
Yeah, I don't think Robbie Anderson is really good at football. Matt Rhule, I know, likes him. They have some history together going back to their college days. But this is a dude who caught fewer than half his targets last year and averaged 4.7 yards per target. Like, that's sub Kyle Juszczyk yardage per target. So, like, I don't think Robbie is good. I think DJ Moore is a fantastic receiver and is going to dramatically out-target Robbie this year. And we know Christian McCaffrey is going to be heavily involved in the passing game. So I think Robbie is generally a pretty bad bet. I don't think you should be chasing week one points. The biggest mistake you can make as a fantasy manager is to chase the previous week's points. And I think that's what you would be doing to start Robbie this week.
Fair enough. Okay, one more guy, Kareem Hunt. I have him ranked at 17. ECR's got him at 23. I'm giving him some more love than some other people. Fitz, what do you think here about Kareem Hunt and his ranking after last week?
Yeah, I think I've got him around 20. So he's in the start zone against the Jets defense that gave up more fantasy points to running backs than any other last week. And obviously with no Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback, they want to run this offense through the running backs. And that was just made abundantly clear to us in week one.
All right. How about you, Dalton, when it comes to Kareem Hunt? Are you higher or lower than the consensus?
Same right there. RB24, I think. So he's an RB2 for me this week. Great matchup. So much red zone work. I mean, I'd love to see Nick Chubb get all the carries there, but it is what it is. And Hunt, absolutely. Just with the red zone work, maybe not a ton of upside, but absolutely, he's an RB2.
Interesting DFS guy this week too. So we'll make sure on Friday at 2 p.m. when Debro and I are doing that live show over on the Twitterverse, go check that out. I'm sure he's going to come up. All right, it's what you've all been waiting for. Listener mailbag.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
And of course, if you want to get in on some of these, make sure you join our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. It is free to join. But when you're a premium member, you get access to all of our AMA channels. You get access to the stages where we get to talk about our teams. You get access to all of our fun events that we do on Discord, including the touchdown calls, which we'll be talking more about tomorrow, too. So congrats. I got to get the winner's name so we can give him a pop on the show. But here's from Vossi. Vossi wants to know, do you think I should hold on to CeeDee Lamb one more week and see how he plays with Rush? Or should I trade him now? If so, any realistic targets in mind? And that's from Vassy. So let's start. I know Dalton asked the question. So Fitz, I'm going to start with you here because I challenge you about where you have Lamb this week and where you think the next few weeks he is going to land in rankings based upon this new quarterback dynamic he has to work with. So that all being said, how do you evaluate Lamb's value, not only week two, but the next month?
Yeah, so I looked at where I have Lamb in the rankings this week, and it's wide receiver 14, and I immediately thought, why the hell did I rank him so highly? Like, I do think he's going to get targeted a lot in a game where the Cowboys have to try to keep up with the Bengals. But then again, he could have a day where he gets targeted 14 times and has 5 catches for 26 yards. So that's definitely in play. Vossi, I would not trade him now because you are going to get pennies on the dollar for him. I'm slightly encouraged that the Cowboys chose not to put Dak on injured reserve. So maybe they think he can beat the timeline, although, you know, you're still going to miss a good month at least. But man, I think you just got to ride it out because who is going to trade for him and give you anything close to fair value for CeeDee Lamb at this point? No one.
Did you put Julio above or below Lamb Now that you're
he's still below Joe.
He's still.
You're gonna lord this over me for sure. If Julio has a better day than CeeDee Lamb,
tune in next Wednesday to find out who is right and who is wrong about this one. It's not. I mean, it's tough here, Dalton, because we love the player, but the situation is not great. It's not like he's pivoting to a Teddy Bridgewater quarterback or somebody like we all go, okay, it's fine. It's going to be okay. This is a big downgrade. So I think Pat, you know, nailed it in terms of it's really hard to trade him. I mean, if you can get DK Metcalf for him or something like that, okay. But I don't even know if that trade is on the block for you necessarily. Maybe you could buy low on Mike Williams, but you have like, I don't know, 24 hours to do that. But Dalton, what do you think about this here and starting him this week? Where do you have CeeDee Lamb ranked?
Yeah, it just totally depends on the trade partner for that specific question. I have CeeDee Lamb with my wide receiver 21, and that's why I asked you guys, because I was uncertain of what to do with him. I could see it going even lower. I mean, 11 targets last week. The targets are going to be there.
I'm at 26. I have Juju ahead of him. I have Julio ahead of him. I'm looking for the targets for those guys.
Normally, I'm a target guy, but when your number two receiver is Noah Brown, there's just a level, there's a threshold that they might be too low at, and it just the competition. This might not be the production, even though the volume is going to be there. But I mean, CeeDee Lamb, even the alpha that's capable of doing it on his own too. And now with Cooper Rush throwing. So yeah, it's probably my most regrettable draft pick after week one is I really ranked him higher than consensus before the year. I just thought that he was going to be the only game in town. And with Dak and him, we're going to put up monster numbers in 180 target season. And now here we are in week two deciding if we should even start him or not. So yeah, it's pretty rough.
Thanks for the question, Fossey. I know everybody is asking the same question. What do we do with CeeDee Lamb? So look, if you get a good deal, you take it if it's fair, because look, the next 5 weeks are going to be tricky. So you might as well try to get something that you feel good about that you could start out there that is at least wide receiver two worthy, because starting him every week is going to be a challenge. Look, maybe we'll all be wrong. Maybe Cooper Rush will play really well. I mean, anything can happen. We've seen crazy things happen in the NFL, but I don't know if it's something I want to invest in. I think that's the way to look at it. Gentlemen, this has been fantastic. I love this show. I love we get to come here, talk about the rankings, debate, maybe change each other's opinions, or at least maybe just move the needle slightly. You can, of course, follow all of Dalton Del Don's work over on Yahoo and check him out on the Twitter machine at Dalton Del Don. Dalton, thanks so much, especially early in the season, early in the day, for making time in your schedule for us. I want to remind everybody to check out my playbook cheat sheets. They're available. They're free at fantasypros.com/myplaybook and get involved in that Jalen Hurts giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. Enter to win by leaving a review of the show. It's just as easy as that. And follow us on all of our social media platforms. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any game. That's promo code FANTASYPROS only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And head over to manscaped.com right now to get your 20% off and free shipping with that promo code JOEYP. Again, Joey P's the promo code at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. I want to thank Dalton Del Don and Pat Fitzmaurice for hanging out with us today. That'll do it for me, Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.